Today we're launching a new series I'm excited about. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about exposed, the truth about Jesus. How many know there's a lot of lies about Jesus that are out there? And so we want to know the truth about Jesus. And so we're going to look at a story in the Bible in which Jesus asked a huge question. I think it's the most important question that you can ask yourself. I think it's the most important question that you can contemplate today. And we're going to look at it in Matthew chapter 16, and then we're going to go from there to John chapter 3 and spend the rest of our morning pretty much in John chapter 3. But this question sets up this series because for the next 4 weeks leading up to Easter, we are going to contemplate who Jesus is and therefore what he can do as a result of who he is. Matthew 16, 13 says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" In verse 14, well, they replied, "If you want to know, you really want to know?" Have you ever had somebody ask you a question and you're like, really want to know? What do you want me to say? "Some say John the Baptist come back from the dead. Some say Elijah come back. Others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." In other words, they thought maybe he was like a ghost. He was like a spirit of somebody famous that had come back. Then he asked them, and here's the most important question. He says, "But who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, who doesn't always get it right, got it right. And he answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And in John's gospel, John's a little different than the other gospel writers. There are four books in your Bible that talk about the life of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when John starts writing about Jesus, he really focuses on who Jesus was. One year, a few years ago, we did a whole series just on I am, the I am statements of the book of John, because John declared over and over the statements that Jesus would make about who he was. And what's important is not what your mama thinks about Jesus, right? It's what do you think? Who do you say that he is? And here's the thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but as I was getting ready for this series, I thought about the devil knows who Jesus is. I mean, he is aware of who Jesus is. And demons are aware. Did you know that? That when Jesus would walk up and he'd roll up on somebody and they were demon possessed, the demon would talk and say, "You're the Son of God." One demon possessed man begged Jesus not to destroy or annihilate him right on the spot. They knew. How many know demons and devils can know more about Jesus than maybe some of us? And so the world is confused about who Jesus is. So I want us to look at the truth of who Jesus is, that he is the true, and we're going to look at this today, the true and only Son of God. The true and only Son of God. James Allen Francis wrote this: 20 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he's the centerpiece of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am within the mark when I say that all the armies that have ever marched and all the navies that have ever been built and all the parliaments that have ever sat and all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man on this earth as has that one solitary life, Jesus Christ. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Maybe you want to take his words and just say those. Jesus helps us to understand God. And we're going to look at a guy in John chapter 3 that John says this guy snuck out at night and came to Jesus. You know, there are people who write in broad daylight, like the woman at the well, and different people in broad daylight, the woman with the issue of blood, right in the wide open spaces, in the open, in the broad light of day, came to Jesus. But this dude, No, I'm not going in the daytime. I'm going at night. And he sneaks out to learn about Jesus. There's a reason for that. We'll get to it. John chapter 3, verse 1. And I'm going to read from the New King James today. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Okay, so the Jews weren't sure about Jesus. And normally when the scripture says the Jews, it's talking about the religious group. Okay, the religious people. And they weren't quite sure about Jesus. And so this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, by the way, his name, Nicodemus, so I was going to title this message, Nick at Night. Yeah, maybe we ought to change it to that. But, and here's what he says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, what's interesting is he calls Jesus Rabbi, and he even says, we know you've come from God. Now, see, this is why he's there at night, because his other friends that he hangs with don't believe either one of those two statements. They don't think Jesus is an authentic rabbi, and they do not think he came from God. They even accuse him of casting out demons by demons, that he's using Satan's power to cast out Satan. And Jesus says, you know, how can Satan cast out Satan? What sense does that make? You know, who would do that? A kingdom divided against itself, it's not going to stand. And so he comes to Jesus, and he declares, nah, the reason why I'm here, I may be here at night, but I know there's something different. There's something more here. There may be a reason why somebody's here today at church, because maybe you don't buy in all the way. Maybe you're not really fully bought into Jesus is alive and well, and he is the Son of God. Yet, but you're curious. You're here. And the reason why you're here is maybe you're searching for answers. And so Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you. So Jesus doesn't even, you know, comment on that. He says, I want to tell you something, smart guy. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus, I was born at night, but not last night, right? I know how this works. I had biology class, all right? I had all this, and I'm informed, I'm a smart man, I'm a leader, I'm intelligent. And so what you're saying, because here's Nicodemus's problem, is he's focused on the natural, right? See, this is the reason why some people, maybe in your family, don't get it. This is the reason why sometimes people don't get it, is because they try to put God in a box. They try to put him in their parameters of how they think and how life functions and what makes sense and what works in their world and mathematically speaking and all of this. And I want you to know, I'm glad that I serve a God who cannot fit in my box, that he's bigger than my box. And so Nicodemus is trying to get a handle on this and figure this out. And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," oh, he's going to get into something else now, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh," he's trying to teach him a principle, "is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Will you just say that line with me, please? You must be born again. Not you should, right? You must. And then he goes on. I love this. This gets spooky here, right? "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes." You're not so smart after all, Nicodemus. "So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "Well, how can these things be? I need to figure this out. I'm trying to intellectually understand you, Jesus. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I've got a big mind. I've got massive intelligence here. I'm one of the smartest people you've ever met. And I'm trying to get my head around this. Are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things?" Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven except me," he says, "but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness." Now, this is just brilliant here, because Jesus knows that this guy knows all about Moses. Because probably, most likely, scholars say that this man, who's a leader among the Pharisees, that he has memorized the first five books of the Bible. How many of you memorize? Yeah. Go home and try that, okay? Just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And so he knows Moses well. So Jesus uses Moses. And he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," and automatically Nick is going back, and he's remembering exactly how that story goes, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." How many know this verse? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world," I love this verse, "to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Yeah. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to lift you, save you. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe," you're condemned already, "because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten, notice this, Son of God. See, Nick is there. Nicodemus is there, and he's saying, Jesus, there's got to be something. I've memorized the Bible. And yet, look at me. I'm still asking questions. I've tried religion, but I'm still asking questions. Maybe some of you've tried more than one religion, but you're still asking questions. You're still wondering. You're still searching. And the reason why is Jesus says, flesh can't fix spirit. How many have figured that out? Because you thought, well, flesh can fix it. This emptiness, if I just drink some more, oh, it's not that bottle, it's this bottle, or it's this can, or it's this one, or it's that girl, or that guy, or it's this thing, or it's that thing. If I smoke this, if I do this, if I go here, if I go there, and you've tried all this stuff, or you've tried different faiths and religions. If I memorize this one, oh, I thought this group. And Jesus says, no. Many try, but flesh can't fix spirit. Only spirit can fix spirit. And he says, you know Moses, and automatically Nicodemus thinks about this story where there was a snake, there were snakes that were loose. I don't know if you should read the Bible. Some of you have seen Indiana Jones. Well, this was bigger than Indiana Jones, all right? It's like, why does it have to be snakes, you know? And these snakes are loose, and they were biting people, and people were dying, and it was an emergency. And God said to Moses, and you can read this in your Bible, God said to Moses, if you'll build a serpent, if you'll form a serpent, get it up, lift it up on a stand, just like these serpents that are here, and people look at it, even when they're bitten, they will not die. That even though they've been impacted by this evil, even though that they've ingested whatever it is, the venom, no matter how it's come to them, no matter how many times they've been bitten, if they will look up on this staff, they'll be healed. And sure enough, everybody, when they were bitten, if they look up and see that staff and see that serpent lifted up, they would be healed. And Jesus said, I'm going to be like that. He said, I'm going to be lifted up. And whoever looks at me, it doesn't matter how many times they've been bitten. It doesn't make any difference how much poison they've taken in. It doesn't matter how much evil has come into their life. It doesn't matter how much disappointment, disenchantment. It doesn't make any difference what's come into their life. If they'll look to me, if they'll just look up to me on the cross, they will be healed. And knowing who Jesus is and understanding all this and all is so important. And so Nick comes to Jesus, and I love it that he does. And I love it that he's got all these questions. And if you're here today and you've got a lot of questions, and all, I'm just so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're watching today. I'm so glad that you come with your questions. Because Jesus is not thrown off by our questions. And sometimes, I was thinking about this in this story, because sometimes I think that people can think that only the poor and the ignorant came to Jesus. But that's not the case here. This is the wealthy and the extremely intelligent that came to Jesus. Because see, Jesus is no respecter of persons. And it doesn't matter how smart you are or how much money you have, how many people know that there's still a void, there's still an emptiness, and money can't fill it, and fame can't fill it, fortune, nothing can fill it. It's the reason why Hollywood people commit suicide, and we're like, what? If I had if I had 4% of your net worth, Why would I do that? And we wonder about it. And it's because there's a hole in your heart that only God can fill. How many know that, right? And so Nicodemus, he's like, you know, like a lot of people, maybe some people here, that you got rules in your life. And you live by these rules. It just kind of helps you make you feel like your life's together, right? You have these rules. You get up at a certain time. You do certain things. You go to the gym at a certain time. You eat certain things. You eat your oatmeal at a certain time. And you do all this stuff. And all of it, and you feel like that just kind of helps. And that's the reason why religions sometimes help people is because it just feels like I got some ritual to my life. I've got some rules to my life. But I want somebody to know today, rules don't change the heart. How many have figured that out with your kids? You better change their hearts, parents. Because once they get away from the rules, they're not going to do it anymore. And see, Nick had this emptiness, and he's thinking, I've memorized the Bible. I've grown up with faith. I've got all these. I'm a very organized person. I'm very intelligent. I've got all this stuff. And yet there's like this dissatisfaction in my life. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something missing. Maybe there's a teaching. Maybe if I just go to that seminar. Maybe if I just go to that place. Maybe if I quit this church, go to that church. Maybe if I go over, maybe there's a rule. Maybe there's something that I could learn that would help me so that I can have this satisfaction that's longing that I need in my heart that I could find it. And I want someone to know today that teaching cannot satisfy your soul. I don't care what teaching it is. And it's so cool that Jesus is like, okay, you called me a teacher from God. And that's, you know, a lot of people would be impressed with that, but I'm not impressed with that because I'm not just a teacher from God. I am God teaching you is who I am. I'm God teaching you. And Jesus gives this plain explanation of God's redemptive plan that's been there since Moses and before. And he shares with this man that there's more than just believing in God. And I want to help somebody today because there's so many people, especially in America, I think, that think that, well, I believe in God. And Jesus doesn't say that's what's most important, Nick, is that you just believe in God. He did believe in God. He believed in God so much they had 5 books of the Bible memorized. I mean, that surpasses you. And belief in God. But Jesus said, you must do something else. You must be born again. You got to be made new. And notice Jesus immediately after he's talking about this born again stuff and being made new, he starts talking about wind. And I don't know if you know this or not, but in the Greek, the same words used for wind is for spirit. And so he starts talking about the spirit. Why are we talking about that? I just wanted a new rule. I just wondered what your religion is. What's your list, Jesus? Maybe if I do your list instead of my list, I'll have satisfaction. Maybe if I join your group instead of my group, maybe I'll have satisfaction. Maybe there's something on the outside that can help me. And Jesus says, no, the problem's on the inside. It's on the inside. And so experiencing Jesus is different than knowing about Jesus. Yeah, you need to experience Jesus. And I think there's some people here today, you're here because the wind was blowing on you yesterday. This week, You were thinking about, well, what am I going to do this weekend? And, hey, what's my friends doing and whatever? And they were all doing something else. Well, guess I'll go to church. No, the wind was blowing. The wind was blowing. Jesus said, the wind blows, and you don't even recognize it. He says, you can't predict it. You can't know. I'm always amused when snow in the Midwest, because we don't have hurricanes, but snow, we have snow. Okay, so if you're watching where hurricanes are, I'll talk to you in a second. But you know how they'll say, well, depending on how the models, which model you follow, we could get a foot of snow or a half inch of snow. And it's like, do I need to get my shovel out or not? Do I need to get up early in the morning or not? And it's because they don't know which way the wind blows. Or for those with hurricanes, they'll say, now it could be, it might hit Tampa or Miami. You know, it's somewhere in this line, you know. Or on the Atlantic side, it could just go up the coast. We're not sure. They get real sure after it hits. When it's too late. And see, rules can't set you free, but the Spirit can set you free. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? I mean, this is the question. Have you been born again? And I want to say to somebody too that I've been born again, but I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I've been born again. I don't do everything like I'd like to, but I've been born again. I don't always think the thoughts that I wish I would think, but I've been born again. I'm not perfect each day of the week, but I've been born again. Come on, somebody, right? I mean, there's something different. The wind has blown, and when the wind blows, something can happen in your life. And we see Nick showing up again. Nicodemus, it's so cool. I don't know if you know this or not, but John tells us about him three times in his gospel. Let me show it to you. In John chapter 7, this is later on. Then the officers came to the chief priests in verse 45 of John chapter 7. And the Pharisees, okay, so that's Nicodemus' group. And they said to them, why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Now even the Romans and other people are recognizing something's different. And then the Pharisees answered, are you also buying in? Are you deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? Don't be looking at Nicodemus over here, okay? Just keep your eyes forward, Nicodemus. Just keep looking. But this crowd does not know that the law is a curse. They said, these people, they're just foolish people. But Nicodemus, and John says, in case you don't remember, let me just tell you who Nicodemus is. He who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? I mean, he's like, I think we should just wait, kind of hear this guy out, maybe. And they answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. They said, we know our Bible, and this guy's not God. He's not God. But Nicodemus, he's gotten a little too close already. How many know what that's like? Like, I already went to church once. I already went to Crossroads once, and now I can't un-Crossroads, right? I can't undo it. I put my foot in. I already got a little bit wet. I already stepped in. I've already felt the wind a little bit. When they were singing that song earlier, I felt something that I've never felt before. And now I can't unfeel it. We see him in chapter 19, John says. And this is in the middle of crazy that we're going to talk about in just a few weeks. Because this is when there's been crucifixion, the beating, humiliation of Jesus, the guy that many thought would be Messiah, and now he's hanging on a cross. And in John 19, verse 38, it says, after all this, after the crucifixion, after they've declared that Jesus is dead, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, I love that. All right, he's secret service at this point, okay? For fear of the Jews, he asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Look at verse 39. And Nicodemus, and John says, let me remind you, I wrote it earlier. I want to help you. Who at first came to Jesus by night, he also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And then they took the body of Jesus, bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Why is that important? Because God declared in his word centuries before that that's what would happen. That he would hang with criminals, but he'd be born, he'd be buried like a king. That there would be something unique. And every one of those is amazing how he fulfilled all those prophecies. We'll talk about that another time. 42. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. See, Nicodemus is there, and they lift Jesus up on the cross. But he's not like all the others. He's not cursing. He's not saying blasphemy. They're calling to him, come down, come on. If you're really who you say you are, call angels down. Come on, do it. They spat on him. They mocked him. And he just hangs there on the cross. And the only words he speaks are his words of blessing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And Nicodemus' mind rolls back to a day, actually a night, when he had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus said to him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man will be lifted up. And he looks, and there he is. There he is. Just like he said. Just like he said. And even though I don't understand everything, because I don't understand why is this all happening, and all, what I do understand is he's more than just a teacher. See, a lot of people put Jesus in that category. Or he's more than a prophet. And some people put him in that category. But Nicodemus thinks he's more than this. He's more than that. And I'm willing to risk my reputation now. I only came to him at night, but I'm going to come to him in the afternoon now. And I'm going to help bury him, even though I don't understand everything that's going on around me. And what Nicodemus didn't understand is he was actually fulfilling Scripture. See, God wants to fulfill some things in your life. God wants to use your life. How many know God has plans for you? Plans for you. So I want to talk to you about how only the Son of God can do these three things. I want to give you three things. Instead, Nick at Night, now we're going to shift our attention here and we're going to make it practical for the next few moments. What Jesus can do that nobody else can do. The first thing that the Son of God can do is he can fully reveal God to us. He's the only one who can really reveal God to us. You ever seen these hawks that fly around? Huh? Anybody seen those? They're all over the place. Especially if you have a small pet, right? You're like, looking out there. And here's what's uncanny about the hawks, and eagles are like this too, is they have telescopic eyes that they can be way up there, just looking like, it's a beautiful morning. It's a beautiful day, you know? They're just singing and you know, soaring around. But what a lot of us don't know is they've got an eye down and they are zooming in to that which we would not be able to see, the details of what's behind the bush, what's behind the brush, what's down there, what's down in that tree, what's hidden away, that small, tiny thing that's there. We would not be able to see it, but they can see it. And here's what Jesus does. He takes that which seems so far away. It's so hard to understand God and who he is. And I think God's supposed to be a spirit. And how do you understand a spirit? And I just need somebody that I can understand and understands me. And when you ask that question, Jesus says, "Here I am." If you want to know who God is, what God is like, take a look at me. Jesus brings God up close. Let me show you in John chapter 1, in verse 16, John says, "From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. And guess what? He has revealed God to us." You want to know what God's like? Look to Jesus. And when you see him like Nicodemus did on the cross, paying for your sin, paying for your mistakes, paying for your failures, paying for the ways you don't measure up, then all of a sudden, you're ready to receive him. Only he can reveal God. Secondly, only the Son of God can give new birth. You know, when Jesus comes, here's what, I just want to quickly explain this. When Jesus comes, he doesn't just kind of erase the answers. How many know when you were in school, you tried to erase the answers that no, that's not right. It's B, you know, in here. Like doing this and all, but how many know that the eraser does its best? But there's like always a remnant, right? Especially if you pushed hard, especially some of those things that are in there, some of those things that just you intentionally are in that paper. And it just seems like the eraser can only do so much. And there's just things in your life that intentionally you did things. Intentionally you rebelled. Intentionally you told the lie. Intentionally you took the drink. Intentionally you hurt. Intentionally you said that. Intentionally you gossiped. Intentionally you committed that act. Intentionally you did those things. And it's in there. And the eraser can't quite get it all out. I want you to know that Jesus doesn't come to erase. He comes to cover. Oh, come on. He comes to cover it. And you get a new slate, fresh start. It's all awesome. It's kind of like being a new baby. We've had some new babies in my family lately. I thought I'd show one of them today, because I haven't even got to meet her yet, all right? So this is as close as I've gotten. But don't you just love babies? And I tell you, the older I get, the more jealous I get of that skin, right? Right? You know, you're like, you know, after you under 30, you don't know what I'm talking about, all right? But you, trust me, you'll get there. You'll get there. And the beauty of what Jesus says is he says, when you come to me, when you come and experience God to the full, he brings new life to you. The old passes away and the new comes into your life. John chapter 1 again, verse 10. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him, who accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And notice what he says. He's getting us ready for chapter 3. He says, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but from a birth that comes only from God. And here's the third thing to write down, is because Jesus is the Son of God, he can change us. He can change us. It's the power to change. You're born of the Spirit. So if you came here today wondering, oh, what's the steps of Crossroads? What does Crossroads believe? And you know, what should I memorize? And what should I leave here with or whatever? I'm just telling you, you're going to be disappointed. I didn't come to offer you a list. I came to offer you life. Life. Born of the Spirit. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, Nicodemus. Humans can only reproduce in the New Living Translation, human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. It's the difference today. Let me just say it like this, and then I want to share something else. It's the difference of from your head to your heart, okay? Because it's not about knowing God in your head. It's about experiencing him from the inside out. In John 3:8, Jesus said it like this, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, or you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You can't explain it. When I was studying this, reading this, how many know how old songs can pop up in your head? You ever have that? Like all of a sudden you're just like, staying alive, you know, or something, or I'm so happy, you know, and you're like all day, I just can't get that song out of my head. And so I was looking at this and I was thinking about an old song, and I'm telling you, this thing's ancient. I don't even know when we quit singing it, but I only remember it when I was a little kid. So I looked it up. There was a lady by the name of Lucy Eddy Campbell, who in the late 1800s was one of nine children born into a family that were enslaved, had slavery background in Mississippi. And then her father passed away at 2 years old, and her mom and siblings moved to Memphis, Tennessee. And Lucy was musically gifted and talented and just had a knack for that. And one day, as she was older, she actually became a part of the National Baptist Convention, and they put Lucy in charge of the music of the National Baptist Convention. And she's walking down the streets of Memphis, and she hears a guy who's super ultra talented, a young man with a guitar, and he's blind. And he's singing and playing and on, and people are just mesmerized by this guy. And all of a sudden, as she's there, she hears somebody say, "Hey, play us some blues. Play us some blues, man. You could do that." And he's like, no. And he's playing these gospel-type songs, singing about God. And so the guy says, "Come on now. I know that you could rip it up. You know, you would be so awesome. Come on, play it. Play some for us." And he says, no, I can't do it. And here's what he says. He says, "There's just something within me that I can't do it. I just can't do it because all I know is there's something within." And it gripped Lucy. And she went and started writing a song. And the song she penned is a song that my pastor used to lead in our church when I was a kid. It became a hymn. In 1919, in the National Baptist Convention, she introduced it to that convention, and everybody went home singing it. And I want them to put the chorus to that song up on the screen, if you would. It said, "Something within me that holdeth the reins. Something within me that banishes pain. Something within me I cannot explain. All that I know is there's something within." And what she's saying, let me just help some of you, because maybe you grew up with rules. Maybe you grew up with religion. Maybe you grew up and it only got so far. It only got here. And you wondered, why I don't feel close to God. Why is it that I don't have that connection? Why is it some people, when they pray, it's like God is right there in the room? But when I pray, it's like I'm just reciting words into the air. What is it? This is it. Bring it back up. "Something within me." See, this blind guy could see better than a lot of people who were passing him by on the street. "Something within me that holdeth the reins." And think about it. 100 years ago, a lot of people rode horses. What Lucy communicated in her song is she said, "There's something within me that keeps me. See, how many know there's times when I want to take a toke. There's times when I want to inject that. There's times when I want to go sleep with him. I want to go sleep with him. There's times where I want to do the wrong thing. There's times when I want to go back to my old addiction. There's times when I want to, but there's something within me. That I don't click on it anymore. I don't go there anymore. There's something within me," she goes on to say, and I know this, some of you know this so well, "that banishes pain," because you should be in pain right now. What they did to you, the choices that they made that hurt you,
that impact. Some of you, you're still trying to recover financially. You're still trying to recover emotionally. You're still trying to recover from even though it happened a long time ago, but the pain is there. But she says, no, there's something within me. I can't explain it, but it banishes pain. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have peace that passes all understanding. I don't know why. I should still be bitter and blaming them, but I'm free. I'm free. Bring it back up. Come on. Don't leave me here. Something within me, she says. I can't explain it. And I just want to say to all the people who want to explain God, who want a God that can fit in your box, that you want a God who's maybe not more intelligent than you are, that his ways aren't any higher than your ways. His thoughts aren't any higher than your thoughts. Because you want to be able to contain him and explain him. And you want to control him. And God won't be put in your box. Lucy says there's just something that causes the pain to go away. There's something that frees me. And I can't explain it. I don't know why. I don't know how. All I know is I'm free. I'm healed. I'm well. I'm whole. I'm saved. Washed in his blood. Oh, come on, raise your hands right now. If you need healing in your body, I believe the wind is in this room. How many know the wind is in this room? You can let go. I know it's been 20 years since that happened, but I believe the wind can break the chains today. I believe that even though you've been prayed for many times, today can be your day of healing, your day of wholeness. I believe even though you've come to church, you've done religion, you've done all kinds of things, today can be the day you lay your burden down and leave it there. If you need God to move in your life, if you need the wind of the Holy Spirit, raise your hand up all over this room. Raise it up, raise it up, raise it up. God's ready. Father in heaven right now, blow across this place. God, blow right into that living room right now. Blow wherever people are gathered. God, as we reach up to you, God, I pray that right now, through the power of your Spirit, that you would break chains. Oh, I hear chains falling. I hear burdens being lifted. I feel the wind of the Spirit in this place. God, we thank you today that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. While we're still praying, there could be some in this room, some online, that you're like Nicodemus. You've heard it in your head. You've heard things about God or what somebody said about God. But today you heard what God says about God, what Jesus reveals about God. And if you'd like to have what Jesus offered to Nicodemus that I believe changed his life, and it doesn't mean that everything's gonna get changed today, but it means it starts today. And if you'd like it to start today, an experience, not a knowledge, an experience with the wind, an experience with the Holy Spirit, an experience with God, a joy that you cannot find any other place. If you'd like that in your life today, just raise your hand right now and say, yes, I need God in my life right now. I need to be born again. You must be born again. Raise your hand up. Raise your hand up all over this room. Online. If that's you, type the word decided in the chat. We're going to be praying for you. As a matter of fact, I want everyone to pray this prayer right now with me. Just pray it right after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on that cross for me. I believe when he was lifted up, my forgiveness is lifted too. That I can be forgiven today as I look to the cross. So God, I'm looking your way, not any other way. And today I submit my life to your plan, to your purpose. Fill me with your spirit to give me the power to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, give him praise for that. Listen, if you made a commitment here today or online, just type the words that are on the screen right now. You can just text those and we'll respond to you, whatever it is that you need to do. Maybe baptism is your next step. We'll have a baptism service in a few weeks. And so if you'd like to know more about that or any of those other things, you can text those words. Or in person, you can just go across the hall because we got Next Steps room right over here. Someone would be glad to help you with that. I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come. At this time, all of our prayer partners, stand to your feet, everyone. Some of you today, you ought to, I'm just going to tell you what you ought to do, all right? I know you don't like to be told what to do. None of us like to be told what to do. But if I were you, and I knew God's not done with me yet, if I knew that God started blowing on me this morning through the wind of his Holy Spirit, and I don't think he's done yet, then if I were you, I'd come down here. And you don't have to be prayed over necessarily. You can just find a place of prayer. But these folks would love to pray with you and agree with you if that's what you want. But we'd love to see you come and let the Holy Spirit continue to do a work in your life. Does that sound good? Let's make that happen today. Father, we thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit that can give joy where there is no reason for joy, that can give peace where there is no reason for peace, that can give a contentment that the world can't give and the world can't take it away. And God, we thank you that we can be born again because of Jesus. Holy Spirit, draw every person down who needs prayer and let miracles happen yet today. In Jesus' name, amen.